tag.
I don't know if you've ever had to hand over your driver's license to confirm that you're over 18. I'm going to be honest, it's not been happening to me for some time now. But you were probably worried about whether your information that you're giving at the shop or the bar was actually accessible by others. In recent years, we've seen the digitisation of license checks in some venues, like clubs and pubs being one. Well, a new law has passed this week that will change how we share our data with companies. Tech journalist and commentator Stilgherian joins me now. What will this new digital ID law mean in practice for everyday Australians?
Well, Andy, I think that the most important thing is that it won't create a new government ID. What it will do is allow you to present your existing IDs in a secure way without organisations having to make full copies of your ID. For example, if you go and stay in a hotel or motel currently, pretty much every time they will take a photocopy of your driver's licence or passport or whatever. Instead, you will be able to present a digital form of that. Now, New South Wales and Victoria already have digital driver licences, so many people listening to this will already be familiar with that. They might be familiar with showing their Medicare card digitally rather than carrying a physical card. What this law does is create a legal framework for a market, essentially, for a number of providers to put things into a digital wallet that you can present, and your existing IDs can be part of that, but also other players can do it. For example, Australia Post has already been experimenting with a digital ID. You can go to your post office, show them all your physical documents, and they will give you an Australia Post digital ID. And then showing that eventually will be considered equivalent to showing you 100 points of ID.
So is a way to think about it, it's a little bit like a digital ID escrow service where a third party sits between you and the service that you're trying to access who says, yeah, this person's all right, he can stay.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, the whoever issues the ID will have all of your background documents. But also the other thing that adds to the security of that is that this isn't being centralised somewhere else. And some of the, quite frankly, propaganda against it has been saying, oh, there's going to be a central government repository with all your ID. In fact, it's the exact opposite of that. If it's gathered anywhere, it's on your own device. So if you have an iPhone, you have Apple Wallet, Android, you have the Google Wallet, you can put your credit cards in that or your concert tickets or your airline boarding passes or all of those things. They're all under your control. And the other good part of it is that if you need to prove some aspect of your life, and you mentioned prove you're over 18 when buying alcohol or something, this will not have them look at all your details with your name and date of birth and address. It'll just say, yes, that person's over 18. In a similar way to the kind of COVID displays we got from some of the state-level things said, yep, here's a green tick, you're vaccinated, you can come in without revealing your name and age and or any of your other health details.
For those of us old enough to remember the Australia card abandoned in 1987, there's slight chills going down my spine thinking, thankfully, this is kind of the opposite of that. It's far more secure. And speaking of secure, how do we know that the digital ID framework and infrastructure is resilient and fit for purpose to make sure that this will be functional and that my details won't end up in some foreign actor's hacking hands?
Well, that's the next step. Essentially, the law means that in the budget on the 14th of May, money can be allocated to this now. At some time last year in the wake of the Optus data breach and others, the politicians boldly said they'd have it all up and running by the 1st of July. That's kind of been nuanced a bit to say, well, we'll have the oversight body in place then and a technical advisory committee, because then we'll have to work out all the details. That said, there have already been discussions with banks and the government and other players on what this might look like. So it might happen relatively quickly. The reassurance will come from the fact that, well, cryptographic magic. It really is hard to talk about this on the radio. But you will have to unlock your phone to use the ID. It will then look, one thought is that it will be a QR code that changes every few seconds. So the Service New South Wales app has that. So if you show your driver's license, it also shows a QR code with a timestamp on it, and anyone else with that app can point their phone at it, take a picture, and via the internet, via the thing, it says, okay, that's valid, that's the correct thing as of now. And anyone trying to use a screenshot of that down the track, it says, well, that's not valid. This is the one from yesterday.
Yeah, interestingly, I've got a digital driver's license, and there's a kind of graphic in the background that moves, so you can't take a screenshot. The idea is that you're presenting it and it has to sort of move and animate in the background so that you know that it's the original. I do want to move on and ask you about Trump's social. I often think about how nothing that Trump says or does shocks me anymore, but here we are. His social network, Truth Social, was floated on the stock market earlier this week for a whopping $8 billion. It's since climbed in value to over $9 billion. There is the suggestion that he's using it as a fundraising tool for his own political ends. If you support me, you support my business and buy shares. I have to ask, is it still worth $9 billion or has it climbed even further?
I haven't seen it go up any further than that, and that was only at its peak, I think. I mean, it's not worth that. I did a little bit of mathematics, and if you want to look at Twitter with its user level, this is before Elon Musk bought it and changed it to X, Truth Social has 5 million users. Twitter back then had, call it 370 million. That was worth $44 billion. This is now not. No, this is valuing Truth Social somewhere between 10 and 15 times what X is worth.
Well, that's a very Trump thing to do, inflate the value of something, isn't it?
I believe that is one of the charges against him, yes. And you know, everything's bigger and better. You're right about maybe using it as a fundraiser. He can't sell his shares for 6 months under the normal ruling unless the board of directors says he can.
Of which he's the chair. He may be able to do that, but then...
And Donald Trump Jr. is also on the board, et cetera, et cetera. And in any event, 6 months away, well, that's still going to be 2 months out from the election. So he can probably, you know, do a quick flip, even if he can't sell it at 9 or 8 billion, but only for 2 billion. That could net him a couple of billion to use for election funding, or at least he could use that to... back up a loan from some. Oh, we know how he works. We know how the man works.
Have you actually been on Truth Social? I haven't had the pleasure.
Look, I haven't, because I don't particularly want to spend my time with those kind of people. But the interesting look, those kind of people are either the MAGA far right Trump fans or the journalists covering it. I sometimes wonder how many of these 5 million users who only have to visit once a month to count are just journalists going, oh, I'm coming up to deadline. Can I say that Trump said something outrageous?
See, he is creating economic opportunities for journalists. But yeah, I think you can say it like that. Still Gurian is a journalist himself and a technology commentator. Good to talk to you. Thanks so much and have a nice Easter.
Thanks, Andy. See you next time.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.